Today's conversation in the Quran is coming from Surah Hud. And before I get into this ayat, it's a really small conversation. For the last 2 weeks, we had the story of Talut and Dawud alayhi salam in Jalut. That was a long conversation, but today's conversation is really short, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned from it. So Surah Hud, first of all, is a Makki surah. And the one thing that we need to understand that in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Nuh alayhi salam and the destruction of his son. Now, he had many sons, but there was one son in particular who decided to go against the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he thought that there's some things that are going to be able to save him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed every single person on the face of this earth who was a kafir. Allah destroyed all of them, including even the wife of Nuh alayhi salam. And that is why in Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the example of two women whose husbands were prophets, whose husbands were believers, but they were not believers. Who are they? Imra'ata Nuh, Imra'ata Lut, the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut alayhi salam. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he destroyed everyone. And the message, because this is a Makki surah, the message that Allah is sending to the belief or to the people of Mecca is that no matter how much you might think you are associated with Ibrahim alayhi salam because you are the custodians of the Kaaba, no matter how much you might feel like you are connected with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because you are the Quraysh and he's from the Quraysh and so forth, but when the time comes and if the wrath of Allah comes, then associations and families will not help at that time. When the wrath of Allah comes, it takes away anyone who disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to deliver to the people of Mecca. Now, in this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah gave Nuh alayhi salam the order to build a huge ship, an ark. And Nuh alayhi salam began to build an ark. And the water, there was no water to be seen. And people began to make a mockery of Nuh alayhi salam. You're building such a huge ark, but where is the water going to come from? Is it just going to be here for us to see? And they made a mockery over and over again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he highlights that in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا وَفَارَتَ النُّورُ قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلٍّ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ آمَنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he gave very clear instructions to Nuh alayhi salam. You need to go, take your family, every single person who became a Muslim, who believes in you and in the message of Allah, take them along with you in the ship. And take two of the animals, one male and one female. Take these pairs of each animal and make sure you put them on the ship along with you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a very strong, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up basically the floodgates. And the entire world was engulfed in water. In fact, in Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions in his tafsir that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that there was so much water that if you saw the peak of any mountain at that time, the water was 15 meters even above that. Now I know that in America we don't deal with meters too much, okay? So to help you understand, what does 15 meters mean? It's around 50 feet. I did that calculation also today, okay? 15 meters is around 50 feet. So you're talking about the peak of any mountain, and then 50 feet on top of that, this is how much water was everywhere. In fact, the way the Quran also describes it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ship began to sail with them amidst the waves like mountains. Like, this was not just a flood. This was not just even a tsunami. You remember several years ago, I think so, it was more than 10 years ago, there was a tsunami that took place in Indonesia and so forth, wiped out so much. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about on a scale that is unheard of. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent water. And there was no place, imagine if you're sitting in that ship, in that ark of Nuh alayhi salam, anywhere you see, you don't see anything but water. This is a situation. Try to picture a situation like that in your mind. There might be floods. You might see buildings. But think about the tallest mountain in that time and the water 50 feet above that, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, this is his theory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. Now when this is happening, Nuh alayhi salam, no matter how much his son is a disbeliever, he went to his son. And the Quran says, وَنَادَ نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ. The Quran says that Nuh alayhi salam called out to his son, that my son, come with me today. وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. This is not the day you want to stick with these people. You will drown and you will die with the rest of them. And what did he say? He وَكَانَ فِي مَعَزْلٍ. Ma'azil means a place where you separate from the rest. Basically, what the ulama, they say is, perhaps the son of Nuh alayhi salam, he found a place at the peak of a mountain perhaps and thought that this is the place that's going to save me. And he's telling his father, you don't know anything. I will be able to save myself. I'm a young man. I'll reach the top of the mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ سَآوِي. He says, إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. I'm going to go all the way to the top of the mountain and nothing's going to be able to touch me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ. You think you can save yourself? This is arrogance. In fact, Allah says, no one can save themselves on this day except for who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon. And then the Quran says, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنْ مُغْرَقِينَ. A wave came between them. Now you, once again, think about it. If you ever seen an ocean, look at the waves of the ocean. One time you get caught into that wave, khalas, you're done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ. A huge wave came between. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And he was amongst those who drowned, who lost their lives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he addressed the earth. He went to, once everyone is gone, now of course the ark is on its way and it's sailing through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ. O earth, swallow the water on you. Whatever water is there, swallow it. Now of course, if the water keeps on going underneath, if the earth swallows the water, but the water keeps on coming from the top, is no good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ardu bla'i ma'aki wa ya sama'u aqli'i. The earth, swallow up the water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the sky that resists the water. No, don't bring any more water down. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ. And the water was diminished. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. The decision of Allah, the ultimate decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that took place. They made a mockery of Nuh alayhi salam. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did what he wanted to do. They were saying that where is the ship gonna float? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, this is all Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wastawat ala al-judi wa qila bu'da lil-qawmi al-zalimin. The ship stopped at a place, or it was able to reach a place called Judi, Mount Judi. This is where this ark stopped, and this is where they got off the mountain. By that time, the water had subsided. The water majority was swallowed up by the earth. Then, Nuh alayhi salam, he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he lost his son. Though he had other sons, but that one son that he lost, there was so much grief in his heart, so he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَنَادَى نُوحُ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. This son of mine was from my family. وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ. But your promise is the truth. What is that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That today no kafir is going to be able to escape the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your promise is the truth. وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And so he says that you are the best of all judges. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responded. And there's a very important lesson to be learned from this response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, يَا نُوحُ. Allah is now responding to Nuh alayhi salam. Ya Nuhu, innahu laysa min ahlik. You can be there. You have grief, I understand. But the fact that this child of yours, this son of yours, did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not from your family. You understand? He is not from your family. You know, we always say this, that blood is thicker than water. We always say these kind of things, right? To talk about how much a family needs to be united and so forth. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even above blood comes faith. Faith is the most important thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nuh alayhi salam, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. He did what he did was completely wrong. إِنَّهُ عَمْلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Then Allah is telling Nuh alayhi salam that, look, you ask about things, but there are things that you cannot ask about. You can ask me questions. Nuh alayhi salam would ask a question to Allah, Allah will respond. Nuh alayhi salam would make dua to Allah, Allah would respond. But there are some things that Allah is telling Nuh alayhi salam, you have no right to question me about. And this is one of those kind of things. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanding Nuh alayhi salam. Now, what do we learn from all these different stories? The stories of Nuh alayhi salam. There are several things that we learn from this story. The very first thing that we learn is the importance of patience. The importance of patience. Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for how many years? 950 years. Now, by the way, is Nuh alayhi salam one of the elite prophets from the Ulul Azam? Yes or no? Yes, he is. Nuh alayhi salam is from the Ulul Azam. There's Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay? These are the five Ulul Azam. Now, in this day and age, we always believe that success is based on numbers. Imagine if I did a program here at the masjid and only 10 people showed up. What would anyone say about that program? Was that program a success or was it a failure? What would anyone say? It was a failure, right? Think about Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for 950 years. And how many people converted to Islam? Some of the ulama, and based on some of the tafsir, approximately 83, 85 people is what's mentioned in the tafsir. That's all that people accepted Islam. You know how many years, if you do the simple math, how much, after how many years, one person would convert to Islam? If you imagine, think about it, giving da'wah for 950 years and only 83 people accepted Islam, if success was built on numbers only, then we would say that Nuh alayhi salam was a failure. But Nuh alayhi salam was one of the greatest prophets to come. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the very first Nabi to come on the face of this earth was Adam alayhi salam, but the very first Rasul, the very first messenger to come on the face of this earth was Nuh alayhi salam. That's a theological discussion I'm not going to get into right now. What is the definition of a Nabi and a Rasul, and what's the difference? I'm not going to get into that right now. But the point is that Nuh alayhi salam, the reason why he is considered as a successful prophet is because he carried out the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was patient during his da'wah time. He never complained to Allah that I've done. I've given them da'wah, they don't want to listen. Khalas, just destroy them. That was not the case. Think about it, 950 years. Today, you and I, we give da'wah to someone in our family for like probably 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year. And khalas, you know what? There's no hope for you. This is how we do things, right? Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years. So the very first thing we learn is patience. And when it comes to success, the success is built on the effort that we put into anything. Number two is that when it comes to any task, this is something that, subhanAllah, I teach the youth all the time. It's important that when you do any task, you start it and you complete it. Nuh alayhi salam is building this huge ark. He could have stopped right in the middle, and that would have been a job incomplete. Nuh alayhi salam teaches us that no matter how big the task is, whether it makes sense or not, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do something, he's going to see through. He's going to start it and he's going to finish it and he's going to see through to the end. This is what we need to learn and this is what we need to teach our youth also. You know how often, by the way, if you think about it, I'm not saying this in the wrong way, but you know, subhanAllah, so many of our youth, when they start college degrees, ask any youth, how many times have you had a change of heart in terms of your degree? They will switch 10 times. Oh, this? Nah, a little adversity? Khalas, I'm changing majors. Oh, a little adversity? I'm changing majors. A little adversity, you're changing majors. This happens all the time. Yes, I understand. You might, for example, a person gets into science. I want to become a doctor. And then you're studying science and you feel like, you know what, this is not my cup of tea. I'm more of a different kind of science person. Okay, khalas, get into that. But you see, the problem that today what we have with our children is they give up so quickly. You understand? When you start something, see to the very end. If you need to make the change, khalas, here and there, make a change, no problem. But making changes again and again and again in life is usually not the best way to be productive. Another thing that we learn is, no matter how much people are going to mock you, you have to also see to the very end, and you do what you have to do. Let me give you a perfect example. Right now, subhanAllah, based on what we see in Gaza, okay, you see every single American politician who will sit there and say that I completely support this genocide, okay? And inshallah, may Allah destroy them. Seriously. No raham, no mercy. May Allah destroy them. This thing, what they say, this is a mockery, wallahi. To stand in someone's face and say, I have no problem for babies being killed. They don't have a heart. For them to say, this is a mockery. Just like at that time, that was a different kind of mockery. But the point is, in the stories of the Quran, we see that every single prophet suffered mockery. They were victims of mockery. But what they teach us is, no matter how much they're going to mock, you stick, we stick to what we have to do. As a Muslim ummah, what we have to do today, we stick to that and we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Nuh alayhi salam, he saw the mockery, he heard the mockery, he did not worry about it, he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, the last thing is, when it comes to children, we always look at our own children and sometimes we wonder, if we have 4 or 5 children, there's always going to be that one, the troublemaker, okay? We usually refer to them as kebab mehadi, okay? That one child, okay? Everyone, sab achehen, okay? Everyone is good. But this one problem, where? Why? You know, same mother, same father. Why is this one child a problem? We learn from this one story that not all the children are alike, number one, okay? Not all children are going to be alike. But number two is this. You see, Nuh alayhi salam, he was speaking out of his pain. Ya Allah, this child of mine was my family. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's not from your family, that doesn't mean that he's not the son of Nuh alayhi salam. That's not what Allah means. Allah means from the perspective of spirituality, from the perspective of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what he means. He does not mean that he's not actually your biological son. That's not what it means. But there's a lesson to be learned in this for all of us too. And that is that today we are living in times where sometimes children would do something and they'll make certain decisions that go completely against our deen. Let me give you an example. I got a call one time where a sister was telling me that her daughter, her Muslim daughter, decided to marry a Christian man. Now, I don't care what anyone says. According to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that nikah is batil. That nikah is invalid. It's not allowed. Now, this person is saying, the daughter is saying that she's telling the mother, I want you to come to my wedding and I want you to celebrate my wedding. And the mother is conflicted that what do I do in that kind of situation? Do I go and support because she is my daughter, she's my biological daughter, but at the same time she's committing something openly haram. Do I still go or not? This ayah tells us you can never support your children when they are openly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I told that sister, you are not to go to her wedding. You are not to go to her wedding. So she asked me, do I completely cut off my relationship with her? And I said, no, you don't completely cut off your relationship with her. If she comes back to you someday later in the future and she wants some help or she's looking for some love, you give her that love, you give her that support, but you need to always show her and make sure she understands that you will never, ever support her for her decision. Because she openly went against Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are a lot of cases like this right now where the children have decided that no matter what, I don't care what my parents are going to say, I'm going to go completely, I'm going to make such a decision. We're not talking about small sins. We're not talking about that. You understand? We're talking about major life decisions that go against Islam completely, and they want the blessing of their parents in that matter, in that situation. This story of Nuh alayhi salam teaches us you are not to give them your blessing. You are not to show them that you support them. They might be a biological son, they might be your biological daughter, but you are not to support them. Now, if they come to you sometime in their life and something has happened to them and they're just looking for some consultation, or they just, you know, something has happened, they're just looking for some love, and they come to you, you can show them that love as a mother, that I love you as my daughter. But I still completely, I'm not on board. I completely disagree and I reject your decision of whatever you did. This is the balance that we need to have. Now, there are some parents who will be like, no matter what, this is their decision and I don't care if they're kafir and so forth. And if they did this such and such, they're my daughter. Well, then look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated the situation and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us understand a balance. So these are things that we learn from the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Once again, there are many lessons, inshallah, you can go back to them in the video and so forth. But these are things that we learn from the story of Nuh alayhi salam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us tawfiq to apply these kind of teachings in our life, in our families. Amin rabbil alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.